We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Friday, school vacation week. That means the starters taking us. They're down today, Andy. No starters today. They brought in the very good bench of Mutt and Hart in for OMF WEEI. The guys.
What are we
back.
The Red Sox? We're good, not great. We don't have a great lineup.
Well, we can talk about that. I like the way they've addressed it so far. I like this Alex Cora approach to the team, but I got to point out, this is what, your fifth day in a row doing radio? Like a full-time radio guy this week. How about that?
It is. No, sixth day in a row.
Oh, you did Sunday morning with Fitzy.
I did Sunday with Fitzy, and I got another Sunday this week.
With Tanger. Tanger back?
Just nonstop. No. He's still in quarantine making $900 a day from the SAG.
That's not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal.
Wait, it's 900 a day or 900 a week?
900 a day to quarantine, okay, to wait to go in a movie that he may never appear in because it could end up on the cutting room floor.
He honestly, there's no skill that Tangway has that's worth $900 a day.
No, there isn't. And his now I'm starting to understand. It was $500 million. If you're paying people $900 a day to do nothing, I'm starting to realize why the budgets of movies are so stupid. It's not the bombs or the CGI. It's the dumbasses like Tangway making way too much money.
Remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in that Bruce Lee movie?
Yeah, we do. Thank you, Christian. He's back on Monday. We just retweeted a couple of these at OMF on WEEI. You can check them out. And actually, Andy just quote-tweeted one of them as well. Like, I don't have a lot to say about the game itself coming up on Sunday in Lake Tahoe, but some of the views we're getting are freaking unbelievable. I mean, it looks like you would see in a video game.
Yes.
Where they'd have a game outside, it would look great. These trees in the background and the skyline and the mountains, I didn't think much of it when they said Lake Tahoe. Andy, I will be all over this game, both Saturday and Sunday, two outdoor games. I'm going to watch just for the sight lines of Utah.
Yes, it's the coolest looking. Like, you know how Stanford is one of the places where they were always like those big pine trees that grow behind and different things. It's like, oh, that's cool. Or Fenway Park or whatever venue we glorify. They all just fell by the wayside because this is ridiculous. I also think it's helped that there's no fans. So they didn't have to worry about putting up fake bleachers
here.
You know what I mean? It's a made-for-TV event that you have the mountains, the lake, and they even are apparently going to get great weather. They had to change the start time because it's going to be too sunny.
So sunny, they don't want the game on Sunday. The Bruins game is now at 2 o'clock.
It's too sports.
Mark your calendar. Right? They're worried about... Great for the last year or so. Hey, guys, too nice for sports outside. So, yeah, 2 o'clock on Sunday instead of 3 o'clock because there's going to be so much sun on the ice the next 24, 48 hours. So I don't know if the ice surface is going to hold up. I know they have sometimes some issues with outdoor ice, but the pictures look great. And Garvin just said my ear, and he's right. One of the shots we tweeted out looks like that Paramount Pictures, the background.
Yep.
Just phenomenal. That
it
goalie's
doesn't look
view
real.
Is spectacular.
The new Paramount Network.
It looks fake, which is going to be expensive in March. I saw that. Another one of these stupid streaming networks we have to have.
Squirrel.
It looks awesome. So I'm not... not
looks like a
I'm
beer
like,
commercial. That's what I thought of. You thought Paramount Coors. Network. I don't know if I thought Coors or just, the Rockies, the water. You got the water there, the hockey, and the mountains. That just screams beer commercial or drink beer or something about beer.
And you can check those out, OMF on WEEI. And please note the Bruins game now is at 2 o'clock on Sunday, not at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, as we're talking about the Patriots, Chase Edmonds had a tweet that echoed something that I've said a couple times and you and I have talked about even before he mentioned it. Suggesting that he thinks, Chase Edmonds, the running back for Arizona, he thinks we're going to see super team-like formats for free agency in that players are going to see, Andy, that the salary cap is down. And it's actually not going to be as down as much we thought. The report today out of Denver, it's going to be 188, not even 180. So that's pretty good for the Patriots especially. It means more money to play with. He thinks players are going to take one-year deals and try to get like 1 year and then go back in the market the following year. But in that 1 year, going to go on to play with their buddies, friends, teams that are good. And not only do I think that is viable, I think it's so viable that it's going to affect the Patriots because I don't think, other than money, and money could help them out here, I don't think that super team mentality is going to be here because you lack that star quarterback and you lack that chance to really win next year. So I believe it can happen. I believe can adversely affect the Patriots. Do you think it's a real possibility we see two or three, you know, bigger names, you know, not super names, but bigger names, sign with one or two teams to try to go win rings and form these super teams?
I do. And I think the one part you left out is Brady kind of formed a super team. He went down there, he brought Gronk, he brought AB. So these players, the thing they've seen most recently is, oh, you can put a team together and it can work. Now, I don't think it will work as often as these players may talk themselves into. I think Brady is a unique case. I think that team was a unique case where, whether you believe their coach or not, you know, we were ready to win. We had the talent to win. We needed him to show us how to win,
sure,
to change the culture. So I don't think it was created as much as people would like to pretend it was created in a lab last spring. And I actually think long-term it's bad for football, and I wrote a column last week about that because I think it's not going to work. It's not going to work as well as you think it is, and it could lead to bad football, bad experiences. But from a player perspective, it's all fine and dandy right until somebody has a career-ending injury, right? Career-ending injury. We see it in the NBA because there's not that many. Why are you talking in the background? Are you talking about me? I can see you. You're being mean. It's not that.
ADD.
I do have ADD.
Go
so
ahead.
You can't distract me. You need to focus me.
Trying to talk to the producer about the show.
Focus me.
I made a mistake that you're going to like
later.
You say
Lake Tahoe is in Utah?
I did. Okay, move on. The texters may realize.
The texters can't. The mountains are the Sierra Nevadas, not the Rockies.
Like I said, Lake save Tahoe's it for OMF ups. Save it for OMF ups. Close enough. Aren't Utah and Nevada close? Don't they border each other, idiots?
So close is good enough?
They do.
Yes. You're
one
of that commercial, good is good enough, close is close
geography
enough?
Geography and hand grenades, close enough. We got
Jesus.
There. It's in the vicinity. Sure, whatever.
But you're just, all you are is a major injury away from ruining careers, right? Like, even in the NBA, when they have major injuries, it doesn't affect them. Kevin Durant, you blew out your Achilles, we'll still give you $70 million. Come on over here, right? In football, if you have a massive, ridiculous injury, your earnings potential goes down the crapper. But I think he's right for this year because I think coming off the Brady thing and the way the cap is set up in a down year, a lot of people will say, A, I can go win with my buddies, but B, then I'll get my big deal next year when the cap goes back over $200 million normally.
And then what I can say is, look, I got my championship. I can now go get paid. Like, I think there's a good chance Chris Godwin, and I know there's some speculation in Tampa the last couple days that they're going to franchise tag him. They're not going to let Godwin leave. But I could see Godwin being a guy that's like, I just won. I'm going to get paid now. Like, that's what happens, right? Guys win championships. Then they see themselves, now I can afford to go get paid because I can. No matter what happens now, I got my championship. I got my Lombardi. I can go get the money now and not worry about the next team I go to being a real, you know, contender.
But the injury thing is the thing that I would fear. Injuries can change entire.
That's
like,
fair.
Do you remember, like, Wes Welker? The year he should have held out, he should have done his contract dance with the Patriots, was the year he blew out his ACL in the season finale against the Texans.
On that terrible field. It's all Jack Easterby's fault.
All Easterby's fault. But that derailed his kind of financial timeline, right? Because now I can't hold out. What are you going to stamp your feet and say you want more money when you can't walk? You can't stamp your feet, right? You're hurt. So it derailed. So football, there's just a finer line between timing and leverage. I know you're an expert in the leverage business. Timing, leverage, and your contract, that it's risky. Like, it might work for some guys, but I think you'll see some guys where they'll really regret it later.
Yeah, and I wonder if they'll even consider it, or do these guys feel, and we don't have a former NFL player like Fourier to ask the question, but do you really think about that as a player? Like, does it, if that comes into your mind.
Injury?
Like, is it?
Yes, I think
do
they
you
think
let
about
that
before they get paid.
Really?
Yes, I do. They talk about it a lot. They talk about, like, the lifespan of a player and the one contract and the one chance to get paid and all those things. They're smart about that because they've seen too many people, right? Like, they have, how many times you see a guy down on a knee while the cart takes somebody off, right? Like, that's a visual representation of what could happen to them that they have to deal with. They have to acknowledge, like.
But what's more likely, though? So but understanding that the league as a whole doesn't have a lot of money to spend. There are a couple teams, Jacksonville, New England, there's a third team. Like, some of these, like, there's three teams, like, $60 million north. Like, they have the actual money to go and spend.
Right.
Like,
but who's the super team in the making? Like, that would be my, because I think the Patriots are about as far away from a super team as you can get.
Okay, I'll give you a couple that jump off the bat. Buffalo Bills, number one. The Buffalo Bills, if I was, like, a third way, I could see myself as a tight end. If I'm Hunter Henry, and I see I have Josh Allen, Steph Diggs, Cole Beasley, John Brown. Hunter Henry wants to go play for a year in a really good offense and have a chance to win. Buffalo with the young quarterback and the young offensive mind in Daboll and the McDermott, who is beloved up there, that to me is one. I think the Chargers are a potential one. I don't know what their salary cap is, but again, Herbert, Mike Williams on the outside, maybe Hunter Henry goes back there. Like, there's legit talent there. Where I know you're in a tough division, but for a year, you're in L.A.? You're in San
Diego? But as a young,
getting paid
if you were
in the
a player,
weather?
Does a young quarterback lure you to a super team? Like, are you sure enough? Because, for example, Baker Mayfield 3 years ago had the great rookie season, right? Threw 28 touchdowns, whatever,
yep,
and then had the crapper the next year. Like, I'd be concerned about that. Not long term. If I wanted to sign a 5-year deal with the Chargers, I'd say, yeah, I'll sign with the Chargers.
How about Seattle for a year? Good. How about go play with Russell Wilson?
Is Russell Wilson there for this super team, or is he leaving?
He's going to be there. We wasted hours of radio time talking about Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and what Deshaun Watson being here. But, yes, he's going to be there. And you get to play for Pete Carroll, who you know is a player's coach. So you get to go play there, potentially win, and it's not going to be a lot of, I'm saying, not it's a lot of work, but Carroll's there to make your life easy as a coach. So
sure,
there's a couple, right, two or three. That's not the obvious ones, like the Bucks and the Chiefs. Like, I get to play for Andy Reid with Mahomes, and I'm a huge favorite to win the AFC next year. I play with Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, nice weather, and I play in a crappy, we're going to win 11 games, going to wake up, win 11 games, and host a playoff
but
game
they don't,
next year in the playoffs.
They don't have great cap situations. Like, guys are not taking the veteran minimum, right?
Well, there's $30 million in Tampa before they make any cuts. People always say they have any money. They have $30 million to spend.
Yeah, and maybe, their players.
38 now. Maybe 38. Well, a bunch
but
of the
they
guys
don't have
are
their players.
But a bunch of those guys are one-year free agents.
Like, do you want Godwin? Do you want Shaq Barrett? Do you want Levante David? Like, if you want to remove all those, yeah, you have cap space.
Yep.
But if you want to re-sign your own guys before you get to adding to your super team, I just think no one's take. Would you? Your Hunter Henry one is good. I actually think that was your best example. If I'm Hunter Henry, I just played on the franchise tag, right? Now, can I get a one-year deal? I'm not signing for nothing. I'm not signing for 1 year, $800,000.
No, no, no. I'm not saying that, no.
But if the Bills want to give me a one-year, let's say fully guaranteed one-year, like $10 million deal, and I might win a championship on a great offense, great young coach. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also going to make, what, $24 million over the last 2 years or $20-something million over the last 2 years. So it's not like I have no money. I'm coming off a rookie deal. I got the franchise tag, and I get another $10 million guaranteed.
Yep.
That's some die that I would roll. That's a good example
well,
you made there.
And on top of that, so tie it back to the Patriots. Like what
about Miami? Are they a budding super team?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. It's Tua.
That's a good. But
see, they're in the Chargers.
That's a good
mold.
One, though. Nice
but Tua,
weather.
I don't have any faith on Tua.
We right? don't. But you know, do I?
Nor do their players. Did you read the Almando Saguero article? They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why is the quarterback not competing for his job? You anointed him, but everybody else is competing, and he ain't that good.
I had not factored that in. Here we go. By the way, is this 10 minutes? Is this right now as we're talking about this? Hunter Henry sets money and good quarterback as free agent priorities. This was 4:02. This was literally 8 minutes ago.
Well, it's not exactly breaking news.
Wouldn't that make sense? Money and a good quarterback, Josh Allen in Buffalo.
See, if I'm the Bills, I'm not looking to do a one-year deal with Hunter Henry. I'm looking to do a long-term deal and pair him up with Diggs and Allen for the long haul.
I want to play somewhere where there's a good quarterback, Henry said. That's huge for our position. It makes things a lot easier.
Patriot so that fans, is his up. Message to Bill. Yep. Bill, I know you love me and have followed me since high school. I ain't coming to New England.
You patted me on the ass after the
yes,
game.
Yes, thanks. That yep. felt good. I enjoyed it. A little goosing. But unless you goose up your quarterback position, you're goosed
Big
and porked.
Ben. Big Ben.
Playing.
Oh
Big
Ben,
shut up. Playing with a good quarterback always makes things better, he said. Oh, these Patriot fans do not like these quotes. You got to look at both money and quarterback. Got to look at some of the financial stuff, but not dive too deep into that. You go chasing it because you also want to play with a good quarterback.
Okay.
But there's also a lot of good quarterbacks out there. You can talk yourself into a lot of quarterbacks, right?
Are there good quarterbacks in New England?
No, I said out there.
Oh, okay.
Out there, I was looking around the rest of the country. I wasn't really in New England.
617-779-7937, the phone number. You can check out our Jarrett and poll question. We'll address later on this hour. What are you laughing at now?
Now they're whispering about you in the background. It's okay. Not as fun, huh?
Oh, you're distracted. I'm trying to make good radio here. Just pay attention and do
Andy,
your job in there.
Andy, you laughed on the air right there.
Because I'm funny.
And the callers are...
Sometimes I just think about funny things. I have an inappropriate...
Can you mute him, please? Let's mute him.
Can
please.
I tell an inappropriate joke?
Let's get to a trending with Tyler Devin.
In the break, please.
We will come back with our apology of the day. If you're a parent with kids on Zoom at home, stuck, not in school, but on a computer, you're going to want to hear this. That's next, OMF WEEI.
Now, more deep thoughts with Christian Fourier.
The more you...
We interrupt Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier for this apology.
Why do we apologize to Boston sports fans or sports fans anyway? They should be apologizing to us.
Sorry, I blew through it.
And I didn't even apologize to my wife.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I have boobs. Sorry.
I know, Danielle. I'm sorry.
Sorry, my microphone went out there, Coach.
My apologize.
We recorded an interview. I'm sorry, I'm going to do that again.
Sorry. But that's...
It's apology of the daytime. OMFWEEI, Mutt and Hart in for the boys. They are back. You're on Zoom. Kids are on Zoom. Have you guys been caught on Zoom, unmiked, thinking you are or on mic but off mic yet? Andy, is that
happening?
No. It's happened at our house where I like yell at my son for something and he'll go like, Mrs., you can hear me. I'm on. And I tell you, he's like, I have to apologize because he's like being loud, so I got to hop in there. What's as bad as this? This is one of the all-timers. This
and what we can do is call on governmental representatives that are higher
one.
Up the chain of...
I've not been caught farting on Zoom yet, but it happens to some people. It happened in California, the Oakley, California School Board. Members of the board were caught on a hot mic with honest thoughts on parents and their feelings on the reopening of schools. Okay? This is a news report from KTVU in Oakland on the hot mic and the outrage from parents. The apology at the end, part of our apology of the day on OMF.
Startling comments from school board members in Oakley. They thought that part of their school board meeting was private. But as KTVU's Christina Rendon tells us, the board members were caught on an open mic talking about parents as parents watched.
Are we alone?
Yeah.
If you're going to call me out, I'm going to f*** you up.
The board talking about parents and the letters they've received from families urging the district to reopen schools.
They want to pick on us because they want their babysitters back.
Right.
Right.
A change.org petition has gathered more than 2,000 signatures calling for the members to resign.
They should step aside and, you know, take initiative for the things that they chose to say and do last night.
Superintendent Greg Hetrick, who was on the call, issued a lengthy statement apologizing and taking responsibility. Part of it reads, I know that we lost trust with the community. I am responsible and accountable, and I am truly sorry for what took place. I pledge to work collaboratively with stakeholders and community members to begin doing the important work that is needed to rebuild community trust in our district.
Some parents held a Zoom out on Thursday where they kept their kids from participating in distance learning. There's also a planned protest in response to the board members' comments. That's being held on Saturday at noon outside Oakley City Hall.
So the key quote in there that they caught on the hot mic that's got people pissed off, one of the two. The first is, they're mad at us because they want their babysitters back, said a school board member who should recognize, Andy, and you can speak this as a father of two kids who've been stuck on Zoom for about a year now. They should recognize it is not about that. It's about the learning of these kids and how much less they are getting from sitting on a Zoom versus being in a classroom with their classmates, the social interaction, the talking to a teacher, the ancillary stuff besides the school. And she is basically in front of all these parents listening on a Zoom. They want their babysitters back, the parents for their approach on this.
Some probably do. I think you even whined about that early on in the process, last May-ish or
bull crap
in that area.
No, I'm home anyway. I'm fine with because they're not learning.
I can actually remember you saying, you know, people think you just show up and do 4 hours of radio. I got show prep all day long, and I'm watching kids, and I'm doing
honestly,
this, and I'm doing that.
I never
you
said
were
that.
Whined.
I have
yes,
no
you did.
Problem
I
with that.
The tape.
In fact,
I
one of my sons at school, daycare is open. So for my youngest son, he's at daycare. So it's not that hard, but the learning is so much worse
for
the kids.
The learning is gone. I actually came to a realization the other day, because the way they're doing it in my town now is every other day. Cohort A goes in on Monday. Cohort B goes on. And when Cohort A is home on Tuesday, they just do work. And I've realized when my son gets home from school, he's in middle school. He gets home from school. He has no homework that day that he got in school because they give him all these assignments to do on the next day when the other kids are in school. He bangs that out in like an hour and a half in the morning.
And just done for the rest of the day.
And then he's done for the rest of the day. And he's getting good grades. I've seen the grades. I've seen the assignments. He's keeping up.
Yep.
So people think they're getting like less teaching. It's even worse than you think. Because in a normal school setting, you'd come home Monday. You'd have homework that you would do Monday night. You'd go back to school on Tuesday, work all day long, and then do homework Tuesday night. He comes home from a day of school, no homework, bangs out the next day in an hour. Like, and I'm supposed to pretend that he's getting as much of an education, he's learning as much, he's doing as much work? Hell no.
And he's
lost
not
generation.
I agree. And so another school board member responded to this. Unfortunately, we don't have this actual cut because another school board member, Richie Madras, to the woman who said they just want their babysitters
they
back.
They want to pick on us because they want their babysitters back.
He addressed it. It was on Zoom as well. I totally hear that because my brother had delivery service for medical marijuana and the clientele were parents with kids in school. When you got your kids at home, he added, no more smoking out. So not only saying the parents are lazy, but the ones who are fighting for their kids back in school are now sitting home eating edibles and smoking weed.
My weed guy always delivers.
That so we this is a well-deserved apology. The superintendent didn't go far enough. These people should resign. They should not be making decisions for the kids of the parents out there or in Oakley County, California, whatever it is, because this is how they really feel. Instead of trying to fight to get the kids back in school, they want a position as, oh, the parents are just bitching for no reason. Like, they, there are some people who really don't think it's a big deal. And this is, I think a majority of teachers, and I'll speak for my wife because she is a teacher, like, she wants to be back in school, desperately wants to be back in school. She goes to school anyway to teach the kids who are at home streaming on certain cohort days. So she's talked for months about getting to school, getting back to school. There are certain unions, I understand, I see them ripped on social media by friends of ours, who, like, oh, their unions hide behind the vaccine and don't want to go back. I find a majority of teachers I talk to, Andy, they want to go back because they realize how bad this has been for the kids.
I would like to give most teachers the benefit of the doubt. Yes,
me too.
That they know how bad it is for kids. And the apology, does it hold any water? I mean, when
zero.
You get, when you get
zero.
Caught on a hot
bad
mic,
apology.
You're saying what you really believe, right? Like, no one's pretending
Are
in
we
that
alone?
Congress. Exactly. Are we alone? That's the, you know what that is?
Now.
Permission to speak freely? Like, are we going to get real now?
I'm going
to
be honest.
If you're going to call me out, I'm going to f*** you up.
Now we're threatening people.
That's what like, I mean.
These moms are now threatening people
these are
on
school
board, committees?
They're school board members.
Jeez.
Did you see her comment? The woman that said the babysitter, her apology? She said, I am raising a 10-year-old with special needs and having him home during this pandemic while also holding down two jobs to support my family has been a huge stress. I suffer with many of the same things that parents are going through, from mental health issues to regression. My remark was callous and uncalled for, and for that, I am truly sorry.
Okay,
so she pulled a Ted Cruz.
She absolutely did.
100%.
And again, I feel for her and her family. Totally understand. It's not about that. But she's bringing her child into this just like Cruz did. And I gave Cruz the gold star.
I was trying to be a dad.
This might be 1A.
I was trying to be a dad. I was trying to be a mom. I have a child with developmental issues.
Needs.
I work seven jobs. I do this. I do that. You know what? You're teaching your child a terrible lesson right now because you have not taken responsibility for your actions. Sometimes just say, I effed up. I'm an adult. I should have known better. Boy, did I. Yeah, but
none of that stuff.
No, they just made excuses.
Just say, my remark was callous and uncalled for, and that's why I'm truly, I'm sorry. Just say that. Don't talk about your two jobs. Don't talk about your child. Just apologize. You were wrong and move on. Do not use your kid as a shield because you ripped parents because they want their kids back in school. God forbid they want their kids to learn properly and not, because they're going to move on. The other part of this, Andy, your kid's going on almost no matter what. No one is staying back during this. No kids are being held back. They can't. It's physically impossible for the schools to hold these kids back during this period. So you might not really know the material completely, have a good grasp on it. You're still going to the next level. That's going to compound as you go forward because you don't have a grasp on the previous level. And that's what parents are understandably freaking out about. Like, did my son get what he's going to need to be successful? Did my daughter understand the material
for
grade 6, 7, 8, whatever it's going to be?
Oh, perfect. We can tie a couple segments together here. So you're saying the children aren't ready to perform at the level that's expected of them in the next grade.
That would be a fear.
Because they missed out on preparation opportunities.
That would be a fear, yeah.
Oh, so like maybe Jarrett Stidham wasn't prepared to perform on the game field like
good
he would
Lord.
Have been
well,
had he had an
offseason. Please think of the children.
Boom.
The difference is,
I just twisted you in knots.
The kids are kids. Stidham's a, well, I was going to say an adult, but the way he
he's
posts
still
on,
a kid.
The way he
no,
posts
he's
on Instagram,
kid.
He's kind of, he's kind of, he's
how's
little,
your teaching going at home?
Immature.
You getting good at it?
I don't do very much. Do
oh,
you?
Really?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, he's on Zoom. He asked
you
for
should have heard the ratios I had to come up with the other days, like examples of
the
ratios.
The Pilgrims came in through
them.
Florida.
I had Tom Brady's interceptions this season compared to touchdowns, and then you give the career touchdowns using the same ratio. How many career interceptions would he have? Oh, I've been banging these out.
Oh, the question,
banging them.
The questions I get are like, because he's in second grade, like these word scrambles. Like, what's this word? But you can't tell him the word because then he...
It's mom.
So I'm trying to give
it
him...
It says M-O-M.
My son actually likes it. Yeah, my son's an Andy Hart fan. For some reason, he likes when you're on with Dale and Keith.
Because we share a maturity level and a sense of humor,
You sure do. You both love to say the word fart.
He would like my dirty joke.
Fart.
Tell him I got a woodpecker joke for him next time
I see him.
He's
8 years old.
Oh, but he'll find it funny.
That's not... I can understand where it's going. I can already tell. He doesn't know those jokes yet. Save those for Tangway on Sunday mornings, whoever you're going to be hosting with.
Fitzy. Don't have a Tangway. He never comes in.
Fitzy, you can save it for him. 617-779-7937 is the phone number on Twitter for this show, OMF on WEI. I got some pictures up there of the Lake Tahoe game this weekend, which is not in Utah. It's in Nevada. Well, you know what? It's actually in Utah. Half of Lake Tahoe is in Utah, so I'm claiming I was right about that.
So which side are they on?
I don't know. I'll just watch the game on Sunday. We'll come back and talk about quarterbacks, not just Jarrett Stidham, but the market for the tradable quarterbacks. What might fit there? What's worth trading for? That's next. OMF with Mutt and Hart, WEEI.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
The statistics, you know, we got to take this statistics. Ugh.
Sounds about right. Wiggy, OMF, Mutt and Hart hanging out for the boys. Sports Radio WEEI, your phone call, 617-779-7937. Andy Hart wrote a very good column today at WEEI.com. I'd not say that very often, but I will say it in this case because it's got everybody talking about it. We have a poll question up. OMF on WEEI. Should Jarrett Stidham be in the quarterback competition for 2021? Tyler, can we get an update on the Twitter poll results?
Andy got exactly what he wanted. He wanted a 51-49 split, and we have that right now.
Which way?
51.1% yes, 48.9% no.
Okay, you can go vote right now. OMF on WEEI. We'll check in on that top of the hour at 5 o'clock. So if it's not Jarrett Stidham, right, it's not a free agent. There's also the market of the trade guys, right? We got the trade possibilities here. And we've heard a bunch of them. I'm going to go through some of these, and you tell me if the ironically, in the week where it was a 25-year anniversary of, I was going to say Billy Madison, but Happy Gilmore. Both good. Which one's better as an Adam Sandler guy? Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
I think Happy
You make
Gilmore.
The call.
I think Happy Gilmore, but I love both. I mean, that's a 51-49
that Veronica
as well.
Vaughn. Chris Farley
one
is the bus driver.
Piece of ace.
If you know what I mean.
I know from experience. Her and I got it on.
No, you didn't.
Get on the bus.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches? I think I actually quote that movie more, Billy Madison, than Happy Gilmore. Just saying.
Pants is cool and consider me Miles Davis.
Oh, my God.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Let's go.
Let's go.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
You know what I use
Billy Madison's better. Put that poll question up. I think Billy Madison's better.
I used the, my dog ran out. We have a lead. Like, our dog goes out on a lead, you know, the long wire. It goes 100 feet or whatever.
Nice.
And one day he went out and the kid, like, missed the lead or something, run off. And I go to him, I said, get your ass out there and find the effing dog. He didn't get it, of course, but I laughed quite a bit.
You said, do you see the actual word?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to quote the line. I mean, it's an art form.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
No points awarded.
They play that after.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thank God that guy's on my side. I know. Are we dating ourselves by saying?
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine. But
so wait, so Tyler, you're the one playing these.
Yes.
Do you appreciate that as much as? Well, whoever's playing them, do you guys appreciate that much younger generation? Do you guys appreciate that as much as we do?
We grew up with those movies.
I actually kind of grew out of thinking Adam Sandler was funny.
Yeah. Well, I grew out of you.
Garvin's kind of a kind of a comedy hardo.
I brought up
Sandler the other day. He's like, oh, I hit puberty and realized Sandler's not that funny.
Something like, yeah, no, it sounds like me. Yeah,
that's exactly what you said. You mocked me for bringing him up.
His '90s movies way better than the recent ones. Like, You Don't Mess with the Zohan. Awful. That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Silly voice in this movie. Oh no, I'm gonna make a silly voice in this movie. It's all the same crap. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, so who's the comedian that's got big range for you? That really does it for you these days.
Oh man, Dane Cook.
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
When you steal from everybody,
Dane Cook's doing these days. There's,
I'll give you some time, Garvin. But I think if there were some classics there, and I even thought his serious role in the gambling movie was pretty good. I went through that period where I was kind of like the same with Sandler, but I've done a 180 from there. He's just really good at what he did, and during his prime, there was no one funnier that made those movies. And I prefer,
don't overthink it.
I prefer
laugh.
Billy Madison. Let's go through some of these. So Evan Lazar.
Today, Junior.
Actually, that's
well
very timely.
Well played.
Are you an Evan Lazar guy?
I have no problem with Evan Lazar.
This
Evan
show
Lazar
does.
Has many problems with me.
Oh, really?
He wanted to fight me. He said I was afraid to show up at Gillette and look him in the face.
The Laser Show.
What did you do?
Nothing. Okay. Absolutely nothing.
Well, he's got beef with this show. I'm not sure what you guys did to him, but
he's got a lot of beefs.
I think he's blocked the show, or you guys have blocked him. I'm not exactly
he's
sure.
He said he was a scout, and Blue kind of mocked him roundly for
he
it.
He gets mad when we talk about him. That's part of the problem.
And
so
now he says
you're going to make him angry.
And now he says he will no longer support WEEI.
Okay. Well, I'm going to support him by reading.
How
his
did he support
tweet.
Us in the past?
He didn't.
The answer is he did.
Was he sending money?
Probably never donated to the Jimmy Fund. I know that for a fact. I don't.
He accused us of hiding behind the microphones.
He probably didn't. Originally thought it would take a fourth or maybe a third to land Marcus Mariota via trade. After asking around, sure, it sounds like a fifth or later might even get it done. Hashtag Raiders. I like that. Hashtag Raiders need to move Mariota given their cap situation. Would you trade a fifth or later for Marcus Mariota as we go through the quarterback values of trade quarterbacks here between now and
I would not
free
trade
agency.
You for Marcus Mariota. I want no part of Marcus Mariota.
I would take him if they cut him. I would not trade for him given his current contract, which is basically double if he plays games.
If you said, we had the debate earlier, if you keep Stidham, brought in a guy like Kyle Trask as a mid-round pick, and we said you probably need a third, Mariota as a free agent can be the third in that pure, just wide open, it's July and it's August and we're going to see what happens. He can fulfill that role.
But we agree, we're not trading for Marcus Mariota. Make the Raiders cut him. I'm with you. I would not trade a fifth. Anyone there want to trade a fifth for Mariota? Tyler, Garvin, anybody?
Nope, just Big Ben.
We're all out. Okay, shut up. The Athletic, Rich Standig, D-I-G. With Vegas not looking to keep the 27-year-old for that much and only the 1 year remaining on his contract, three front office executives on the player personnel side think a fifth-round selection might be enough to acquire him. Oh, who wrote theirs first? The Athletic or Lazar? I wonder where Lazar got the fifth round thing.
Oh, he is not going to like you. He's blocking you as you speak.
The Raiders could also release Mariota outright in the hopes of re-signing him to a cap-friendly deal. That's more likely. If that's the case, sign me up. Jeff Howe, also of The Athletic, he said, assuming they're available, he would trade a Saturday pick for Garoppolo or Mariota. What's a Saturday pick these days?
Jeff Howe of The Athletic.
So the first round is Thursday. Second and third rounds are Friday.
Yeah, four.
So four or more, I would not for Mariota.
I would not either.
I also
think for Jimmy, that's a little disrespectful. I think Jimmy might get more than that.
I'll get it's Jimmy in a second. And then he says he would trade two ones and a three for Trey Lance. And goes on to say that's a realistic scenario, even if it's a long shot to happen. I'm sure everyone will be really kind in the reply. So we'll save Garoppolo. Trey Lance, if they had to move up, to give up their number one this year, another number one and a three for a guy who's played one game of football in the last year, and then his season got shut down by COVID.
But before that, had virtually a perfect season. Didn't throw an interception, went to the national title, was perfect.
What league did he go to the national title in? What league
Whatever
was that?
Whatever league North Dakota State plays
That's
in.
That's the FCS, correct? Not the FBS? So he plays UNH, and he plays Maine, and he plays...
Yeah, but they're a high-level program. High-level FCS program.
I'm intrigued by his talent, but
yes,
it seems like a lot to give
up. If the Patriots want to do that, I like the idea. Because I think you and I, we disagree on a lot of things. I think one thing we agree on is go get the young quarterback. If there's a way to go get that young quarterback, go get him. That's how you win. Now, there may be some bumps in the road, as you mentioned, guy away from football, lower level of football. I don't know that you can say, hey, Trey Lance, by the way, first game says here, September 7th, get your ass ready. I don't know that you can do
that
with
him. He's not a starter in year one, no.
But he's also the guy, you know, we're in that silly season now where somebody has this guy ahead of Trevor Lawrence, this guy's better, all that, Zach Wilson, blah, blah. Remember, in the summer, Daniel Jeremiah had some stuff where he was saying that Trey Lance was more physically gifted. I don't know if he actually said he was better than Trevor Lawrence, but he said he was more physically gifted than Trevor Lawrence.
Well, the problem is that Trevor Lawrence went out there and did it again at a high level, and Trey Lance did nothing for the last 6 months.
But he couldn't. Like, he couldn't.
I know, but his fault.
He didn't stink.
He's tougher to evaluate.
He is, but I'm saying if Josh and Bill are on board with this idea, I like the general philosophy. Trade up. You're going to have to... That's the other thing we need to get into here. I appreciate Jeff being realistic. Have you seen these stories lately and these ideas that you can get up to number four to draft Zach Wilson by just trading the 15th pick and a couple second rounders?
That was, like, was that Phil? What? I think that might have been Phil Perry.
I don't know if it was Phil Perry or Nesson. Like, I mean, it's fine. They might be right. They're using some Rich Hill modern draft chart thing.
Yep.
But I'm more with Jeff Howe. If you're trying to get way up into the top 10 to get one of these quarterbacks, it's going to take multiple first-round picks. And as Jeff said today, maybe a third.
Yeah.
It might be as you start to bid, because it's not just whether you can get there. It's what the other teams around you are willing to do. Or is the ninth pick or the eighth pick, Carolina. If Carolina says, I'll trade up to four and I'm giving you eight and a future one, well, that's automatically
they're
more valuable than the Patriots,
yeah,
right?
And that blocks you at quarterback, yep.
I think quarterbacks drive these trades up. Forget about the draft value chart. These quarterback trades can get a little crazy, and I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be looking to trade up to get a quarterback.
Well, and to that end, I think we have to take Wilson off the table. Like, so Lawrence is going one. Either the Jets are taking Wilson at two, or they're going to trade out and they'll trade back a spot and just someone else will take Wilson, right? It's either Fields or Lance. There's no chance they get Lawrence or Wilson, right? We should stop talking about those two?
Well, I mean, I guess if you trade with the Jets, if you get the second pick somehow.
But are the Jets trading with you so that you can get your quarterback of the future? How is that?
I wouldn't think so.
Like, Bill wouldn't do that to the Jets. He wouldn't give the Jets the second pick, even if it was, you know, a great deal. I don't think he would.
What if the Jets did all their scouting research and they think that Zach Wilson's a spoiled, rich kid, going to be the ultimate Ryan Leaf 2.0 bust? What better place to send him than New England and take all their draft capital?
I'll give you another one. Report today out of The Athletic says Sam Darnold's prices dropped after the Wentz trade. There's a second round pick tagged to him in one of these quarterback stories. Would you trade a second to the Jets? Knowing, again, are the Jets really wanting to put their future star quarterback or their franchise quarterback who's now fallen out of favor into the hands of Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels?
I think I would trade a two for Sam Darnold. I mean, he's still the talented guy that I liked coming out of USC.
Yeah, I didn't like him out of USC, so that's where I'm
sort
of
there's
torn.
Your issue. Yep. We tend to stay with whatever we thought 2-3 years earlier when guys come out.
Yeah, guys don't change your minds. That's what we are. We stick.
Yeah, we're stubborn, and I like that. But I also would say he's kind of the modern quarterback where he's not a runner, but he's not without athleticism, right? So you're not getting this pocket stiff. And the comparisons to Tannehill and all these things where, you know, Gase ruined Tannehill. Look what happened to Tannehill when he got rid of Gase. And then, you know, if Sam Darnold gets rid of Gase and you get him here with Josh and he can coach him up. And I don't hate that idea. I don't hate that idea. I don't know where it would be on my list of preferences, but it's not. Would you rather have Garoppolo or Darnold?
Oh, that is a catch-22 for me. I don't like either guy.
You need a quarterback at some point. You don't like Stidham.
Let
me add a third.
Darnold.
Darnold, Stidham, Garoppolo. So Darnold has to win that for you.
Darnold.
Okay, Darnold. So would you give up a two for
him? Now give me Trubisky over.
Why are you in love with Trubisky?
Because he has the most upside of all these guys.
He had one good year to leave North Carolina and built a multi-million dollar career off of it, and it stinks.
What's the definition of stinks? He's got a quarterback rating around 89, the same as some of the guys you like. I mean, if I compare Darnold and Trubisky here, the numbers are going to be better for Trubisky, just for the record.
Yeah, but what do you think Darnold's going to be? He does. I don't think Darnold's very good.
Trubisky's upside, and let me say this, so they get a clean cut of this, so when next year he is this in the Patriots uniform, we have this. His upside is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He has the athletic talent to move around like the modern quarterback does.
Sure.
And he has a legit good arm. He is erratic in his decision making. I think that can be coached by someone like Josh McDaniels. And unlike some of the other guys like Marcus Mariota and some of the guys we talked about, he has the physical skills to still grow into that top 10 quarterback.
Are you talking about Trubisky or Darnold?
Trubisky.
Oh, okay. Darnold's, I kind of feel the way you feel about Trubisky, about Darnold.
And they both...
I think he has all the potential, and if you could coach him up, stop seeing ghosts, get him comfortable, let him utilize his physical abilities, I think Darnold can play.
And that's why the three guys you gave me, you're right, I don't love Darnold. I'd prefer him over Garoppolo, over Mariota, over Stidham, because I think Darnold has the most upside of that group. Like, because if you're not going to trade up, and I know you want to trade up, Lou wants to trade up,
yes,
you're not going to get the next franchise quarterback now. At least acquire somebody whose ceiling is high. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo's ceiling is what it is. He's not better than what he is. He's an oft-injured quarterback who creates turnovers and to a good offensive coach.
Wins.
Doesn't want... Sure. But his franchise also
sure, you just,
really good.
You
there.
Just kind of go past he's, that. Sure, he wins. Yeah, sure,
if
wins.
He were all that good, why would is Kyle Shanahan bending over backwards to badmouth him privately at the media and try to trade him every deadline?
If he's all that bad and it's just the system, how come they don't keep rolling right along when the next quarterback comes in?
But this year, well, you can't count this year. This
I'm
year,
asking.
They George
just
Kittle.
Just asking
George,
in general. It's a
George
general
Kittle,
question.
Then when Nick Mullins came in and played, they had like nobody to play with. You know, okay. Kittle was down. Who's I'm forgetting the starting wide receiver was out. Like they offensive
Debo.
Line issues.
Debo was in and out all year.
So yeah. they had a draw a line through the year itself. Like they started like the Eagles year. Like Wentz had they had a weird year in Philly because their offensive guys were all hurt. But I think when Garoppolo's been at his best, Shanahan has still tried to sort of kind of protect him. Does that make sense? Like, let's run the ball a lot here. Let's set up his offense. And I think a lot of other guys could have done what Jimmy G did. And I cannot get over, Andy, I admit this, in the Super Bowl, the interception before halftime and the overthrow to Kittle and to, was it Sanders down the middle?
Yes.
Like, I can't get over those.
Sanders
I know it's one
changed
game.
His career. The Sanders throw changed his career. He makes that throw. They win the Super Bowl. It changes the narrative for the rest of his life.
Jay in Connecticut's talking about a guy we have not brought up yet but might be available. Jay, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, buddy.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm surprised this guy's this name. I've been calling for the last couple days. I just haven't been get on. But, yeah, Tyrod Taylor's out there, and you can get him for, like, about $5 or $6 million a year. Why not sign this guy for, like, 2 years? Again, this guy was a starting quarterback before his lung got punctured by his team doctor. Like, he's a starter in the league. So why not go after him for, like, 2 years and then get your young quarterback in the draft? Like, I'm surprised his name is not being brought up as a pass fan for a long time. I would love to see him here for, like, 2 years.
I would not trade for him, but I'm going to assume the Chargers will probably cut him loose there instead of keeping him. I put him on the I wouldn't hate it list. I'd put it ahead of Cam. I'd put it ahead of Stidham. But again, you're talking about a guy who is now, he's 32 next year.
And he's not good.
So he's just, he's a bridge guy to compete. He is not,
he gets beat out by everybody eventually. Like, they're better, right? Mayfield moves on from him. Buffalo moves on from
him.
He's
played 72.
Chargers move on.
Without looking, because I had to look it up myself. He's played 72 games. How many has he started of those 72?
17.
47. So big.
47.
So a little bit more, but still, he barely started half the games he's played in the NFL.
He had that. He took the Bills to the playoffs a couple of years ago and then was horrific in the playoff game.
They didn't score a touchdown. They lost 10-3.
Yeah, they couldn't throw. They couldn't move the ball. Forget about score a touchdown. They couldn't get first downs and move the ball. And he's a guy, like, the one thing he does have, like Cam, is I think he'd be good with a young quarterback. He's a veteran. Remember Hard Knocks a couple of years ago? I remember leaving that saying, I'd hire him as my quarterback's coach. I don't want him as my quarterback, but he can coach my quarterbacks. I don't know. And what's the upside? He said a 2-year deal. Well, what's the upside?
He's the backup. Like, if he's the backup to somebody else, fine. But if he ends up being...
And I guess he would also fulfill maybe that third guy option. If I'm hoping for
Stidham
or
a rookie
Trask.
But that's his role. If he ends up being the starter...
Like, yeah, what? I don't want him to start.
He's ahead.
And all these guys have started, by the way. Every guy we've talked about, like Mariota started for what, 4 years or 5 years in Tennessee? Like Trubisky has been the starter in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
All these guys we're talking about have been starters for extended periods of time on some NFL team. That does not mean you are worthy of being invested in as a future starter for this team.
Well, a guy who agrees with you on Trubisky really likes him is Mike Lombardi.
Have you watched him play? He can't be fixed. There's an instinct. When your mama lifts you from the crib, you either have it or you don't, right? And MVP Mitch, there's a reason why he didn't go to Ohio State.
So what
I agree with him.
What
he
we
don't got it.
But what
he don't got it.
What we need, though, and Lou and I talked about this yesterday, is the Pats to sign him. because once the Pats sign him, guess what Lombardi, you're laughing? Guess what Lombardi's going to say? You know what, Lou, I've learned a lot about him since then. I think Bill got a real diamond in the rough.
Yeah, he'll just start shredding the Bears.
You know, Mark Twain often says history doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes.
Oh, shove it. This hour of OMF brought to you by our friends at Audi Village of Norwell. Go listen to his. You're not a football. You're not a gridiron genius, so you can't follow the genius.
History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes.
Now play that again for Andy.
You know, Mark Twain often says history doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm going to
find a carbon copy repeat. But
did
it looks
Mark
similar?
Twain also say that the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco? Or is that somebody else?
I like when Fourier tries to play along.
I'm sure Mike said, like, Milan to Minsk and just hung up the phone.
God.
Minsk. He loves bringing Minsk into the conversation
God. For
some reason. Again, this hour brought to you by Audi Village of Norwell. Andy Hart is here. It's Mutton Hart hanging out for the boys. 617-779-7937, the phone number. Poll question up, OMF on WEEI. Do you want Jared Stidham? Should he be part of the quarterback competition for the Patriots this coming season? Andy Hart wrote about it today and says, yes, he should. We'll check on the poll results and discuss coming up with you, OMF WEEI.
It's like you live in Minsk and you only hear one side of the story from the Russian Politburo.